Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. Today's episode is one you will not forget. I'm sitting down with Destry, and his story is powerful. He grew up chasing all the wrong things, ended up dealing drugs, and he found himself in prison. But prison wasn't the end. It was a place that God met him, transformed him, and gave him brand new life. This isn't a story about regret. It's a story about redemption. It's about a God who can take even our darkest chapters and write something brand new with them. So let's talk about the drift that led him down the wrong path, the moment that changed everything, and the hope he wants to share with you today. Let's welcome Destry to the podcast. Welcome, Destry. I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I think your story will speak to a lot of people. So thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to just conveying my message, supporting you. And obviously, if we can impact a few lives in the process, it's a win.
That's right. Can you take me back to your younger years? What was life like for you before your success?
Yeah, I've had a very interesting kind of upbringing. I was raised by a single mom. I've never met my father. He found out my mom was pregnant and said that he was going to go to the gas station and never came back. Never really had that role model of a father figure in my life, and was, again, raised by a struggling single mom that I felt like she really know how to pick the winners. And I'm saying that sarcastically when it comes to men. And so I never really had that really man impact in my life when it came to my upbringing and just childhood. Friends and family were doing their best in the process, but ultimately it was just a very interesting childhood when it comes to just being a boy and looking for that manly kind of role model ultimately. So
I can understand that. Did she take you to church?
She didn't. I had a wonderful grandmother that took me to church, Catholic church, got my first communion and did the grandmotherly role there and got baptized and did the Catholic school for some time through grandma. And she was very old school Catholic. So I had some balance there and understood at a little younger years, some God impact, and, you know, just was very sparingly, but grandma always pushed God and the Catholic church through my years as growing up. So that was the blessing in the bigger picture as I grew up and realized it.
Yeah. My mom was on the podcast on the second episode, and I, for the first few years, she took me to Catholic church, which I knew that my sister went, but I didn't know that I went. So that was something I learned by interviewing her. So you had great success at a young age. You built a real estate company at 23 years old. What drove you at that stage in your life to be so successful?
I always had a chip on my shoulder, I felt like, growing up, from not having that father figure and like the society of like the standards of what everybody expects out of going to school and going through those motions. And I was just very driven to like wanting to make an impact. And I felt like I was almost chasing something out of either just making an impact for myself and or just trying to prove something to myself and the people around me. And that always was my chip on my shoulder growing up. And then obviously taking that into the real estate and that kind of impact when it comes to just the overall success I had. And again, in that same kind of process, I was just hollow in that motions of, again, chasing standards. And there was no real God foundation or any purpose to my madness overall through success. At the time, it felt like it was right. But at the same time, I felt like there was just no purpose behind it.
And how many employees did you have when you were 23?
I had a point at 25 people working for me. And everybody, believe it or not, was about double my age when it comes to like my staff. And everybody was with me for multiple years and had a couple locations and did a very impactful career when it comes to the real estate side of things. I remember at one point sitting on a balcony in my beautiful home, realizing how unhappy I really was after I finally felt this milestone of whatever success felt like or what kind of society standards were. I never will forget that. I remember sitting in my house and after all the blood, sweat, and tears of the success and just making it happen, I just realized I'm like, I'm miserable. And this no meaning behind it. And I call it the chocolate bunny, just no God in my life, no spiritual foundation. And yeah, so it's just very impactful at that time, realizing like I chased all this for what, you know?
I understand that, because the chocolate bunnies are hollow. You're empty inside, even though on the outside it looks tasty and delightful, but inside there's nothing. I like that analogy. So when the market collapsed and everything changed, what was going through your mind in that season? Because you said you were in real estate. So how did that impact your company?
I felt like I failed. I didn't have anybody that was like, hey, just brush yourself off. These type of things happen again. I felt like it was the end of the kiss of death is what I called it, where ultimately like there was no coming back from my success as a failure. And I didn't have that support. And again, being hollow on the inside, there was no meaning to all that. So I really felt like it was the rock bottom in my own version. And I felt like society does such a great job of what we're supposed to have at a certain age, or what we're supposed to feel like at a certain age, or have in our superficial world. And I felt like it just was the end. And I was just treading on these horrible feelings of unsatisfied. I lost it all. People look at me differently. And again, I felt like a lot of that was from my own mental doing, as much it was real at the market at the time. And again, like it all surrounded with me just living a shallow, empty life, I feel like. Looking back now, at that time, I didn't feel that. I felt like it was the end of the world and didn't know what to do. And that's when I started to hold on for like dear life, trying to find solutions that weren't probably appropriate. And then led me into some really bad choices to get me to where I was.
So you talk about you turned to drugs. What was that season like when the market collapsed and you said you were just looking around and it was hollow? What led you to drugs?
I felt like I was feeling a void of emptiness. I felt like I was trying to numb myself to, again, society standards. If there's anything I could ever convey to my sons or anybody, it's the world and society creates these images of this perspective that we need to have at, again, at certain times in our lives or a certain age of you're supposed to have this. And I, again, was filling those voids with drugs and also a lot of different issues when it comes to the financial responsibilities that I created, having those employees working for me. So I started to offset a lot of the things I was doing by selling drugs to some people that were in my circle. And when I sell drugs, it was a lot of steroids. I was unfortunately creating habits personally from addiction, and I was filling the void of just like numbness, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And again, I felt like I was drowning with no life preserver on what I should do or not do. And again, it was just poor choices. And it's as a young man, I felt like I was a kid as much as I was a grown adult, and not nobody there to speak to and convey. So I felt that taking drugs was the best solution at that time.
I think a lot of people can relate to that because they do turn to drugs or alcohol to numb the pain. So you're not the only. I had an eating disorder. So I like to have an addiction.
Yeah, I feel like it all of us as human beings, we all grab onto something. Like yours could be eating disorder, mine was drugs, sometimes it's alcoholism, sometimes it's gambling, and whatever void helps kind of fill that up is where we gravitate towards to. And obviously mine was drugs, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And unfortunately, I was running from my problems versus facing them head on. And I feel like a lot of it was from immaturity and just lack of being grounded as a human being. And I think as humans, it's so easy for us to do what's easy. And for me at that time, easy was doing drugs and shielding those pain and the embarrassment of what I felt like was me not succeeding in life and what I had accomplished.
When you started doing drugs, you said you eventually ended up in prison.
Yeah. I made some choices where I had built all this great success, hit rock bottom with the market crashing the way it did. And unfortunately, it just kept leading into more and more poor choices where, long story short, I end up getting 5.5 years for intent to sell steroids and cocaine. I got sentenced to about 6.5 years in prison. I was in my mid-20s and really at that point just felt like the world was going to end. And I had just hit rock bottom. And I feel like at that time, even though rock bottom was how I felt. I don't even think I actually hit rock bottom yet on a mental and a spiritual level, believe it or not, even though from the surface, I think most people would think 5 and 6 years in prison was rock bottom.
And yours was where you couldn't, you only had an hour where you could go out, right? Was it maximum security?
I obviously, drug charges was, I did intentionally at the beginning of my sentence have the lighter prison sentence when it comes to like the custody on yards. And unfortunately, again, I made some poor choices at the beginning of my prison sentence where I got sentenced to maximum security, which was 23 hours lockdown and 1 hour outside your cell for about 5 years of my prison sentence. It really just made life even tougher. And I felt like I felt like at that time I probably needed it. And on that note, and I ended up literally spending majority of my 6 years locked down for 23 hours a day, as far as then that goes.
So you had so much time alone by yourself. What was going through your mind? So people can understand, what was your mental state in this situation?
I really felt like it was the end of my kind of life on the choices I made. Obviously, being in a prison cell and making those choices, from just the label that I created of being a felon, the choices of hitting rock bottom financially, letting people down. I really felt at that moment, if I sit back and reflect, there was no direction on a solution. I felt like at that point in my life, everybody had given up on me. I gave up on myself. I was looking for a way to get out. And ultimately, and even in prison, there was times where I had habits in prison. Unfortunately, you can still have a drug habit. And at those times, I was filling those voids. And just if somebody could flip me inside out, it was probably the hollowest I've ever felt from a spiritual level and as a human being, of like, where do you go from here? Or is there even a solution to make it out of this mess that I've created for myself, from a personal level, from a financial level, from a spiritual level? And I didn't realize at that time how forgiving God is, and realizing where I needed to start. I really felt like there was nowhere to go at that point. And I don't know if anybody's ever felt that in life on making a poor decision in general, but it's a really hollow place to feel and lonely. And it's one of those places that you really got to be honest with yourself. And I felt like at that time, there was a lot of reflection going on, to answer your question, sitting in that cell by myself, staring at the wall, looking at inmates that have spent decades in prison from life sentences. When I would go to eat chow when we were allowed out, the people I sat with were never getting out of prison. So at those moments, it was very humbling. And I look back now and I felt like God actually put me in those positions for a reason. At that time, I still didn't have an answer. I was grasping for anything that was an answer, but I just really felt like there was no answer. And at that point, it's a lot of times people either going to keep continuing doing drugs, find a way to kill themselves, ultimately, I feel like, or just keep going down a path of self-destruction. And I was at that point.
Someone spoke to you and they asked you, do you want something better? Can you tell us about that man?
Yeah, it was a porter, believe it or not. He was a porter that did all the mopping in the cells while we were all locked down. And I was staring out my cell window and he came to me and he asked me if there was something I wanted better in life. I think he saw the desperation in my soul ultimately. And I just nodded, not realizing what that could be or what that entailed. And he said, a gentleman's going to write you. His name's Lonnie. He has a prison outreach program. And it was the start of a chapter that I didn't even know what was going to happen. But at that point, I just accepted, like, there was no harm in seeing what it could entail. So I let myself open up to this guy, Lonnie. He had a prison outreach program based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And he started just writing me the kindness of his heart and just talking about God and talking about Ernest Holmes, which is a great author that I've picked up a lot of books on. And it just started a little bit of healing, I guess it would say, of understanding where I was at in life, if that makes sense.
So how did his letters and the book change the way you saw yourself and God?
I think for me, the kindness of a stranger opening up to take the time out of his life to talk to me and open up. He was a very kind man, very successful. In his life, he was just trying to pay it forward. And we just started corresponding of how forgiveness looked like, what God was about. And I knew there was a God, but I always felt like I had made so many poor choices in life that there was no coming back from my choices. And I always held that over my head and my conscience. And it just weighed so heavy on me. I kept digging a bigger hole, bigger hole, bigger hole. And realized Lonnie said one day, hey, if you're serious, God does forgive. And he's a very forgiving God. And it took a while to pull on my heartstrings to really accept that. I feel as human beings, we feel like we've done so much wrong, or in whatever version that is, you don't think that's possible. I just slowly let him talk, and I believed a little bit more and more each day. It's a tough road when you're at that stage of life, forgiving yourself, realizing that God is forgiving.
Yes, and he's so forgiving, and I completely understand where you're coming from, because when I did what I did, I kept running from him, because personally, I was like, how do I face the one who's holy and perfect, who I willingly sinned against? But he met me at my worst, and I got to experience his grace and his mercy and his love. And I will forever live my life to tell the prodigals, the rebels, the ones who feel like they've done too much or ran too far away, they're one step from returning to the Father. He's waiting for them expectantly and patiently. So I love that. Yeah. When did you first believe that God could really redeem your story?
It started by kind strangers. Again, I think as human beings, we create these walls and barriers in our head, in our imagination of like where we've done so wrong and how we can't be forgiven. And I feel like you got to first accept that God is forgiving. And for me, that's where my healing started. And ultimately, how so many kind strangers accepted me where I was at. And part of that was a book from Ernest Holmes. It's How to Change Your Life. And it's just really a book on just mindset with marrying God into your daily life. And ultimately, I got out of prison and I still wasn't completely in a good spot. I was just raw and just very vulnerable. And I went to church and they literally accepted me where I was at, kind strangers. And again, I had more walls up than I think they did. And that's when the first start of like my healing started, where I actually was able to be accepted by people that I felt loved me where I was at and were able to accept me and let me heal and understand like there is a God and there is people that do love you. And it started there. And I always say the brick by brick theory, because when you're in those weird spots in your life, vulnerability wise, I feel like you got to be vulnerable. And you got to put your first step forward and just make a choice at the end of the day. I think one big motivational factor for me why I'm here talking to you is like literally if I fast forward now to my life when I was where I'm at now, there's so much forgiveness and healing that's happened where if you told me I would be where I was at today, I wouldn't believe you. And I want people to understand, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you've done, if you put your best foot forward and just brick by brick it, I promise you, you'll be so shocked and so amazed what can happen. And that's my motivation sitting talking to you today, Shannon, because I literally have experienced some of the depths of hell, no other way to put it, to get us to where I'm at today. And you got to forgive yourself. You got to really understand that God's here and ultimately put yourself in a position of vulnerability, and so many things can change, but it's got to start with yourself, I think is the key.
Yes. And you talked about now how much your life has changed from getting out of prison. And now you run a successful marketing company. What role has your faith played in how you lead and do business?
I've put my best foot forward when it comes to paying it forward. Every chance I get. When I want to tell you guys, I was the anti-God person. There was a joke with some of my friends, like if I stepped foot by a church, it probably would have burnt down before I got to the front of the doors. And I literally 360'd my life when it comes to just the process of my daily life. For me, I criticize everything about God. I'm one of those guys from A to Z. And I really had to accept where I was at with God. And I pray before meetings. I start my day with prayer. And I feel like for the people that are the extreme version of like where God meets you, is you got to accept it and just slowly work yourself to a point of daily process to believe. And ultimately for me, God and my life is a daily thing. And it took a lot to get there. And there's a lot of days where it wasn't perfect. I felt like part of my process when I started to accept God and the forgiveness thing, it's not perfect. And I think you need to accept that you're going to have good days and bad days. And there's going to be days where you don't understand everything. And I think as I've matured in my faith walk, that those days are some of the strongest days to keep pushing forward and forgiving yourself. And you also have to surround yourself around those people that understand where you're at is a big piece of that. And for me, everything I do, I try to pay it forward with, I believe God has me here for a purpose. And I believe that everything I've done is due to God. And I feel like God has took me down a path to have a testimonial to help relate with people that are struggling with any aspects of life. And I want to make sure that I'm uncomfortable telling my story. And I feel like it's important that I still tell my story because God has gifted me with so many blessings, so many great people. I have a beautiful family, amazing business. And to answer your question, it's all based around Him. And it's really been my main focus of accepting that God has a purpose for all of us. And sometimes I think we look too big on the bigger picture of what that looks like. Keep it simple and just brick by brick, find out like where you're at in life. And I think it's important to just accept the choices you've made and be able to forgive yourself. And for me, from my wake up in the morning to my kids, it really is my center of my human being. And every time like I get stuff in business gets kind of rocky, my relationship in life, from my wonderful decade marriage to me personally, I reflect back and I'm like, what's going on wrong? I'm going to the gym. I'm paying my taxes. I'm doing everything I suppose. I'm like, oh, I drifted away from God. There we go. You know? And it's just so funny.
Yes.
You know,
that's what happens when we get our focus off of God. That's why my podcast is called Out of Focus, because that's what happened to me. And that's how I fell. It's because I had my eyes on myself and I took them off of Jesus. That's the main point, is when we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, everything else falls into place. And it doesn't matter.
It really is.
What season of life we're in, because life is hard for any of us. But when we have Him, we have peace and contentment and joy. And to go on the fact where you said you pay it forward, you do a lot of our social media for our church, Be Renewed. And we are so appreciative of you. We love your heart. We love your testimony. We think the world of you and your family, and we're so appreciative of you.
Absolutely.
You definitely do.
I want to make sure and I convey that every time in life, because life is hard. And I feel like sometimes the way TV and the way the superficial social media makes this perfect image of your people's pages or images, take the curtain down for a second and realize life is going to have its challenges. And if we have a foundation of God, it makes things a lot easier. And it always seems to work out in the end. And I feel like every time I drift away in other shape or form, it's because I don't keep myself grounded with God. And you're absolutely right. This podcast is amazing. Amen. And it is, I have proven it over and over again that the inconsistency comes from when I drift away from God and I get out of focus with Him. And that's from a mental mindset thing, from business, from my relationship with my wife, from being a good father, is you got to get back to a point of staying grounded and having your connection with God. And you really got to remind yourself. And I feel like sometimes we get hard on ourselves with criticizing ourselves. It's not perfect. There's going to be good days. There's going to be some bad days. But you always got to get back to the consistency part and showing up and putting your best foot forward. And it always seems to work out. And over the years, I'm a very hard-headed, like I can do it myself personality, like I'm sure a lot of us are. And I feel every time I've checked myself, it's all about I drifted away from God and got out of focus. I can't say that enough with life in general. And it's important to just keep yourself consistent in any shape or form, and start, if it's reading your Proverbs in just a short manner in the morning, if it's Psalms, I started there with the typical, I read my Proverbs for the day, and the day of, if it's to the 22nd, I'm reading Proverbs 22nd. Yeah. And Psalms, keep it simple. Yes. And start there. And I feel like if you can just get a little bit of your mental game started with your day of some good scripture, it's a brick. And then add another brick, ultimately. And eventually you'll start to rechange your foundation. And it's not perfect, because I feel like sometimes people go into this with full steam ahead and then they fall off and then they give up. Or they feel like, oh, it's just not for me. Or, oh, you got to start slowly into the process. And for me, I still get back to, I read my Proverbs in the morning and my Psalms and start there. Then I go into some scripture. Some days I don't even get that far, but I start with something.
Okay. I would love for you to give us one scripture that's anchored you Psalms 23. Your lowest season in your life.
Psalms 23 is my go-to for multiple reasons. It's just been my source. It just really has gravitated towards many different aspects of my life. When I have my moments in life and I'm struggling, I go to Psalms 23. Again, I need to keep it simple for myself. I know how I operate. And for me, you know, I have good friends that can relate any scripture verbatim, and I'm not that person. Again, find where you're at in your own personal way of getting to a simple version to keep yourself grounded. For me, it's Psalms 23. It's simple. It's obviously very impactful, but that's my go-to when it comes to just keeping myself grounded and reminded myself where I'm at in life. Because again, life isn't easy. And I feel like we all as society want to make sure that we give that image that things are perfect and everything's great. And the reality is it's tough, just all aspects. And I think if we can all have like your be honest moment, it's important that we find where you're at. And that's worked for me.
I agree. I think as Christians, I always thought that I had to put on this kind of perfect image because I love Jesus. So I shouldn't have any problems. And I'm secretly struggling with an eating disorder or whatever it might be. But we're not perfect. That's why we need a savior. And that's why we need him daily. We realize that we need saving, and he's the only one that can save us from ourselves. Absolutely. How can people connect with you or follow along with what God is doing in your life? Because you are rocking it, Destry.
I appreciate that humbly. I mean, obviously Destry Henson on Facebook or Destry2323 on Instagram. It's all about good energy on my social media when it comes to family and where I'm at in life. And I'm just all about paying it forward. And if there's anything that I can help or convey and there's something that resonated with you, direct message me. I'm more than happy to pay it forward. That's where I'm at in life. I want to be able to have common ground because I feel like life is tough. And ultimately, there's so many people that have crazy testimonials. And I promise you this, if you just make a choice, you can get yourself out of so many deep depths of poor choices if you want to. And ultimately it starts with you. Yeah. I really believe that. And any way I can help or pay it forward, I'd love to do my best to be able to give you my solutions and or thoughts.
And can you give your email address just in case people want to connect or about what you do for your business?
Yeah, Destry Henson, Destry Henson, Henson, @yahoo.com is probably the best email.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Destry, for joining us today. I think your story is going to touch so many lives. I love your honesty, your vulnerability, and your openness. And I think the world of you. So thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Shannon. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.